We hear again from Genesis chapter 3. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." In the name of Jesus. The kindness of a Lord who sees the sinner and wants not to destroy but to restore. The kindness of a Lord who sees the sinner covered in shame and wants not to add to the shame but to cleanse and cover with honor. The kindness of a Lord who sees the sinner hiding and who then in love calls out an invitation. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Where are you? Not a question of fact. The Lord already knew where they were. He created them. He created the bush that they crouched behind. He no more needed to find out where they were than he needed to find out the color of the sky that he had created. Where are you? A kind question, drawing a reply from two sinners too afraid to even face themselves up to their Creator. A question of kindness by which he is placing them in conversation with himself so that they could hear his voice and could speak to him. A kind question establishing that he was their God. Even after the sin, he did not depart the scene and act like he didn't care, but he was still their God, and he would speak to them as his people. Where are you? To two sinners hiding in shame. Sin does that. They had eaten the fruit. The Lord had given them that tree as a gift. He had given it to them to look at, to care for, and not to eat of. But they ate. They took the tree and its fruit not as a gift to be received in the way it was given, but as something that they could grasp according to their own power. That's rebellion against the giver of gifts. That's enmity with the creator of life. And to be at enmity with the creator of life is death. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5:12. We weren't created for death. Death is not natural. It's not part of nature. It is alien to nature. Death is against our creation and our Creator. But sin does that. Sin is not just the outward action that can be corrected, like maybe a quarterback in high school learning to correct a bad throwing motion. It's not just something cosmetic, like a rash that can be chased away with the right ointment. Sin goes to the depth of the soul. It cuts to the heart of the person. This sin, this refusal to receive gifts from the Lord, this rebellion of Adam against his Creator, its sickness penetrating to the very being of the person. It is death to Adam, who now finds himself just waiting around to die. And it is inherited by the children of Adam, by you and me, so that in our despair we find ourselves just waiting around to die. Where are you? Our Lord's kind invitation to us. He knows where we are. He's our Creator. He continues upholding all things of creation, including giving us our every breath. He knows where we are. He sees how we treat his gifts of creation. Is our neighbor not a gift of creation? Our neighbor, along with us, is created by the Lord, knit together by the Lord in the mother's womb, and now sustained by the Lord with food, with oxygen, with hours of sleep, hours of waking. It's all from the Lord. Who else would it come from? He sees how we treat our neighbor, the lack of love, the whispered conversation on the phone, the talk behind the back. Does our Lord miss any of this? Words intended to tear down or plant doubt, the thoughts kept secret, the veiled hatred, the accusations to bring distrust. Will we keep any of this hidden from the Lord who gives us every breath of life? He sees us behind our own little bush, whatever that bush might be. Where are you? He says, finding us in our shame. The kindness of his invitation. The kindness of a Lord who sees the sinner and wants not to destroy but to restore. The kindness of a Lord who sees one covered in shame and wants not to add to the shame but to cleanse and cover in honor. The kindness of a Lord who sees the sinner hiding and who then in love calls out in invitation. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the face of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" Genesis 3:9. He came to them in that garden. He presented himself to them in a way that they could see and hear. And he walked into the garden, approaching them. He had done it before, but before they weren't hiding. Before they had welcomed his walking into the garden that he had created for them, it was his day to be with them. He called it Sabbath, the day of rest and peace and fellowship, joy. This time, they're hiding. That's what sin does. It cuts to the heart. He came, though, not to judge. They already knew the judgment. That's why they're hiding. He came not to judge, but to save. John 12:47. From Eve's seed, from her offspring, will come the Savior, he tells them. This one, of the lineage of Eve, Satan will strike him on the heel, but he will strike Satan on the head. Salvation, that's what it is. Salvation from sin, from the devil, from death. No more hiding. The Lord is life, and he speaks life. The shame is removed. The sinner is cleansed and covered in honor. He does it with his word promising the seed of Eve, the descendant who would crush the head of Satan, this Jesus, through whom we receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, which now reigns for us, Romans 5:17. This world that we're in of sin, of death, of people hiding in shame, the people of this world, will they hear this kind word of invitation? They will know what to expect from the church. Well, at least they think they will know what to expect. From the church, from the voice of the Lord's people, the people of the world will expect to hear shame heaped upon the shame they're already trying to hide. Our neighbor will expect to hear the judgment of impending death from the church. Our neighbor will expect to hear words by which they will not be good enough for the church, will even be chased from the church. Then comes the Lord's voice of kind invitation. He loves the sinner. He loves us. He loves our neighbor. For those hiding, he does not depart the scene. He engages. He speaks. Where are you? It's his kind voice of invitation, inviting the sinner to his cleansing word of gospel, inviting the sinner to hear the justification spoken at the throne in heaven and now brought down in the gospel and spoken in the church on earth. Inviting our neighbor into the fellowship then of those restored to the grace and peace of Sabbath rest with God. The kind invitation of the gospel, calling out of guilt into grace, out of death into life, out of this world of sin to the table of the body and blood of Christ Jesus. For if, because of one man's trespass, Adam's, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, Romans 5:17. It's his invitation that we hear. In the name of Jesus, amen.